If you believe assault is an act, not an adjective, your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
All right. Good morning, everybody. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're listening to 2A Radio right here on RBN. Thank you very much to RJ Hinder, previous host on the last show. Thank you for sending your audience off to us right here on 2A Radio. Guys, on 2A Radio, and I'm going to explain this because we have a lot of new listeners that are coming in all the time. 2A Radio stands all for Second Amendment Radio. 2A, Second Amendment. 2aradio.com. is the website. It's not two-way radio. It's 2A, it's in Second Amendment Radio.com. And my email address to send me comments about the show or anything else is bill@2aradio.com. Now, if you're going to send me a personal message directed to me directly from you, that's great. Any forwards you feel like sending, do me a favor, send them to somebody else because I get them from several other email addresses all the time. Please do not send me forwards. Please do not put Bill at 2A Radio on a whole list of different people you're emailing stuff to, because then all I get is a whole bunch of garbage that people end up sending to me along down the line. And it is a mess. I have a lot of email that I have to go through, and that just makes it that much worse. So, Bill at 2A Radio, if you want to have a personal communication back and forth, that's great. What do we talk about here on the show? We talk about guns, gear, we talk about the right to carry, we talk about open carry, concealed carry, we talk about open carry movements, we talk about where politicians want to curb our open carry rights, where they want to curb our concealed carry rights, and also in areas of the country where they want to expand those rights and make it much more less restrictive. Much more less, that sounds weird, and make it much less restrictive to carry your guns for personal protection. Guys, in the economy of today, police departments, sheriff's departments are laying off people left and right because they can't afford to pay them. The money's just not there. Revenues, tax revenues, all kinds of revenues are down. So that means two things. There are less cops on the street, and it's driven more people into crime. Who are you going to call? It's not Ghostbusters, guys. It's going to be Mr. Glock. It's going to be Mr. Browning when you pull your 1911. Whoever it is, it's going to be the manufacturer of the gun that you're carrying. We also talk about sporting uses of guns, but mainly it's a defensive-natured show where we go into different news articles. There's commentary. There's certainly my opinion. And then there's call-in. If at any time you feel as though you would like to call into the show, the number here is 800-313-9443. And a lot of people listen to the archives. The archives are available on the website, 2aradio.com. And then you can go on there, you can listen to the archives. The archives are commercial free. It gets right down to the nitty gritty. And they're always up within about a half an hour, maybe even 20 minutes, of the show being completed for the day. So I just wanted to give you all of that background. So coming up, and the rest of the show, you're going to get news, commentary, certainly my opinion on some of the things going on around the country at state and federal levels, and really see what's going on out there. So stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, and you're listening to me right here on 2A Radio. Two-A Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443. All right, guys, welcome back from the break. The Supreme Court is currently hearing the McDonald v. Chicago case, which could repeal Chicago's long-standing handgun ban. But the justice may come a little too late for an elderly Korean War vet who is simply defending his 83-year-old wife and 12-year-old grandson. Listen to this. Chicago Sun-Times reports that this man had been robbed at home a couple of months ago by three intruders. Afterwards, he bought a gun and vowed never to be a victim again. Around 5 a.m., a 30-something-year-old Anthony Nelson broke into the home by breaking out a back window, which leads to the elderly couple's unit. There was a confrontation between the home invader and the homeowner, and the invader shot at the elderly man with his revolver. The homeowner shot back with his handgun, killing the attacker. Now, Lenore Nelson said her son loved to draw and build things. She said he obtained his GED in jail and had signed up for an online carpentry program. He could fix almost anything, she said. This is Nelson, the mother of Nelson, the guy that broke in. Nelson was supposed to start a new job next week for a company that cleans out homes before they're remodeled, according to his mother. So she's trying to martyr her son. He was such a good little boy. He earned his GED while locked up, and he had done an online carpentry program so he could learn to fix things via the internet. Okay, great. Well, WGN balanced this out by reporting that Nelson, quote, was on parole after being sentenced to 3 years in prison for a 2009 drug conviction and had a criminal record that included a number of other drug or weapons convictions going back to 1998. Now, ABC reports that the man may be charged under Chicago's current law, which bans handgun ownership. That's the elderly homeowner that defended his life. Keep in mind, the bad guy shot first. So, we have somebody that has drug and weapon convictions going back 12 years. If you include 1998, it's actually 13 years. Just last year, he was sentenced to 3 years. He's already out, on probation. Didn't change him any. Because now he's out doing early morning home invasions and shooting at the victims. Now, an 80-year-old man can be prosecuted for using a handgun for self-defense, but a repeat offender serves maybe a year of a 3-year sentence, and in Daley's world, Mayor Daley of Chicago, this is somehow justice. Well, ABC's video and WGN's photo show only black residents. This serves as a reminder that the consequences of Chicago's gun control laws have fallen heaviest on the blacks. Over time, they have compromised a higher percentage of Chicago's murder victims, currently over 75%, while whites have seen their percentage of total decrease. While Chicago's murder rate dropped between 2000 and 2006, the use of handguns by the killers actually increased. Now, the census reports that in 2000, blacks comprised 36.8% of the population of Chicago, about half of what they comprise among murder victims. Now, Mayor Daley believes shoving a rifle up a reporter's butt might save his life somehow. And if escaped convicts bother him at his Michigan vacation home, his private security detail stands ready to hold them at gunpoint. Meanwhile, an elderly couple awaits the arrival of another set of armed robbers, courtesy of Daley's Law and Order crew. Now, you might actually understand that the McDonald v. Chicago case involves a 76-year-old man who's had his house broken into multiple times and wants to buy a handgun for protection. However, he can't. So, he took the city of Chicago to court. And that is now McDonald v. Chicago, because the city of Chicago completely ignored the Heller decision by saying, Well, the Second Amendment's never been incorporated against the states through the 14th Amendment. Now, let me tell you how ridiculous that is. What they're claiming then, in short order, is that the Bill of Rights existed. They existed through the 11th Amendment, through the 12th Amendment, through the 13th Amendment. And then somehow, when the 14th Amendment was passed, the Bill of Rights went away and no longer was encompassing in the states until the Supreme Court would rule on amendment by amendment through the entire Bill of Rights that they did apply to the states somehow again. How ridiculous. Shall not be infringed. Falls on deaf ears. As a matter of fact, even when it falls on the ears of people who want to be deaf, stuff their fingers in their mouth and their ears, and with their mouth they go, la 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 la, I can't hear you. They will still infringe on your inalienable, uninfringible rights. Well, that's internal treason in my book. Moving on, we talked a little bit the other day about the Marriott hotels. Marriott Hotel was in North Carolina, the one that was in Charlotte there, had a bunch of convention goers at the NRA National Convention. And at one point in time during the convention, they had a big, some sort of a meeting of some kind going on. They decided to post all of these no guns allowed signs all over the hotel in the lobbies and make sure that people knew that they weren't allowed in the rooms, just everywhere. So these guys walk out of their meeting and all of a sudden they're faced with all this. Now, there's been a huge, I mean, just a viral backlash against Marriott about this. And by people who are obviously gun owners and Second Amendment supporters, by people who necessarily aren't gun owners or Second Amendment supporters, but just realize that a public accommodation and a place that you essentially call home and have any reasonable right to privacy in would say, you can't have your guns, as though they could also say, you can't talk about politics in here. You're not allowed to talk about a specific candidate. We're going to restrict your First Amendment right as well. So a huge backlash against Marriott. So, Marriott, just 3 days ago, said that, told callers that had called up that the no firearm signs had come down as part of an apparent disinformation campaign. All right. Marriott CEO J.W. Marriott Jr. is linked to a gun control group. Here's some of that information. Late Monday, an ostensibly apologetic and congenial Keith Thomas, assistant to CEO J.W. Marriott Jr., told Grassroots North Carolina board member that Marriott had stepped on a hornet's nest and promised to remove signs prohibiting lawful firearms in hotels nationwide. Of the Charlotte Marriott City Center, where signs posted during the NRA convention made inadvertent criminals of conventioneers, Thomas promised signs had already been removed. But on Tuesday, signs at Marriott properties, including that very same Charlotte hotel, remained in place while Marriott executives became unavailable for, according to office receptionists, a litany of conflicting reasons. Meanwhile, Charlotte Marriott director and loss prevention, Sammy Jones, refused to comment on the status of the signs. Some gun rights supporters are now expressing concerns that the claim by Thomas was merely a dodge to deflect the thousands of emails and phone calls pouring in from around the country. In addition to the mounting boycott going viral on gun forums, it was featured by nationally syndicated radio host Tom Gresham on Gun Talk. It's also certainly been covered here by me. Evidence suggests a more sophisticated corporate disinformation campaign is in operation. By pulling out the false message that Marriott is removing signs, the corporation sought to have gun rights activists do its bidding by putting out messages to that effect on internet forums. Now, those of us who have spread the Marriott is pulling signs message are, in fact, spreading Marriott's disinformation. To counter their efforts, we're going to go through the immediate action required. Now, And what might explain Marriott International's decision to prohibit firearms in all of its hotels? A reader recently discovered a link to its chairman and CEO, J.W. Marriott Jr., and longtime gun control organization, the Coalition to Stop Gun Violence, formerly the National Coalition to Ban Handguns. Run by longtime anti-gun activists Michael Beard and Joshua Horowitz, CSGV's recent agenda includes registering private gun sales at gun shows, banning semi-automatic firearms, mandating micro-stamping of firearms, and generating propaganda against lawful concealed carry. A March 10, 2010 press release by Marriott lists Mr. Marriott's accolades and achievements, including the following. Mr. Marriott is actively involved in various boards and councils, including the Board of Trustees of the National Urban League. Among many left-wing causes advocated by the National Urban League, it's listed prominently among members of the Coalition to Stop Gun Violence. So does J.W. Marriott Jr. know his charitable efforts are being used to undermine your rights and mine? Call Marriott, call their executives, and counter their disinformation campaign by telling them to follow up on what they said they would do. Stay tuned, more after the break. We'll be right back. I've been roaming around, always looking down
at all I see. Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Give the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
Welcome back, everyone. You might be very well aware that there's been a big bunch of shootings and military and paramilitary exercises going on in the streets of the capital of Jamaica. Now, dozens have been killed in the violence. At least 29, most of them civilians, have been killed in Jamaica's capital amid this all-out police assault on a suspected drug lord stronghold. And security forces have confiscated firearms, ammunition, binoculars, army fatigues, ballistic vests, and the likes, and are conducting searches. But how could this be? Guns are illegal for ordinary citizens to even possess in Jamaica. The laws read like a gun grabber's dream. Basically, any person who is guilty of an offense under Section 20 of the Firearms Act or an offense specified in S4, the statute shall, upon conviction thereof by the court, be liable to imprisonment with or without hard labor for life. Now, what is Section 20? Essentially, if you don't have a license, you're toast. And guess who gets to decide if you have a license? Well, near as I can figure it, it would be detailed in Section 11. Okay? And that, you end up just having to jump through hoops. And this, and fill out all kinds of applications. Then if you are a prominent person, you might get your application approved. Then again, that's no guarantee. It won't later be revoked. Oh, and you also have to have $3,000. Do you have that? Because that'll eat up the lion's share of most of Jamaica's annual income. And of course, none of this guarantees licensed guns won't fall into unauthorized hands. But at least we can take to heart that official corruption and favoritism to elites plays no part in any of this, because there is no case of bribery involving persons trying to obtain gun permits. However, a source told the Sunday Glenier that he had to pay $10,000 to each of the four police investigators to make sure everything went smooth after sending in his application to obtain a gun permit. Say, that is pretty smooth. $10,000 apiece. That's about 14 years, 13 and a half years of the average annual income in Jamaica to get a gun permit. Huh. Barring something big pushing this to a back burner, Well, you never know. He might actually get his gun permit. Interesting, isn't it? So Jamaica has basically an outright ban on guns. However, the suspected drug lord and all of his private little army all have guns. How is that? Well, because he's had his own people in the government. Pays people off. And then everything gets overlooked. Hey, you know what? Money talks. And money can buy you some of the best politicians out there. We see that in the United States Senate. Well, what was it? The 17th Amendment that changed the way senators get into office. It changed it to a public vote as opposed to being installed by the state legislatures. Was that at the 17th Amendment? I believe, if recollection serves. I have to say, I really, really honest to God believe that the 17th Amendment, if that's the one, should be repealed. If the state legislature nominates one of its own to represent the state, actually two of its own, to represent the state's interests at the federal level, those people would no longer be so preoccupied with what goes on nationally or internationally, you know, globally. They'd be much more concerned about what's going on in their states and their states' rights, because if they're not, they can immediately be recalled. That would have happened in Nevada long ago if Harry Reid had been put in there by the state legislature. The minute he even brought up Obamacare, he would have been recalled, as would have lots of other senators. Let the lower house be the lower house. Let the upper house be the upper house. And let's stop doing popular elections of people that woo us to serve in the Senate in Washington. Allow it to be a state legislative decision. And guys, make no mistake on this either. Popular voting of every citizen casting a vote for someone running for president of the United States? Yeah, I guess you could throw your vote in there, but it's all up to the Electoral College. And the Electoral College is decided state by state. Some states require the Electoral College to vote via the popular vote of the state they're in. Others, doesn't matter at all. Doesn't matter at all. Some states can split the Electoral College vote. Okay, well, you know, this area votes for this guy, and this area votes for the other guy, and however it works out. In other states, every single vote, most states, every single vote must go to one candidate. So, let's not get too carried away with what a lot of people don't understand when it comes to voting for people. I mention all of this because these people in Jamaica were also elected. Stay tuned, guys. More to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, and you're listening to 2A Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
And welcome back. It is certainly no secret that the chief Mexican, Felipe Calderon, was in the United States last week. And of course, he received lots of liberal applause for falsely claiming that Arizona's new immigration law uses racial profiling. Of course, he hadn't read it. Then again, it hadn't been translated into Spanish. But that wasn't the only baloney that the Mexican president was peddling during his particular state visit. Over 4 minutes of his speech last Thursday addressing Congress was spent lecturing Americans to renew the federal assault weapons ban that sunset this past September 2004. Now, his justifications for the ban, of course, were all garbage. Chief Mexican Calderon claimed that guns covered by the federal ban were particularly powerful weapons. Really. While the term assault weapons may conjure up visions of military hardware, the inside guts of these feared guns are essentially the same as a hunting rifle for deer. It's just semi-automatic. The firing mechanisms in semi-automatics and machine guns are different completely. The entire firing mechanism of a semi-automatic gun has to be removed and replaced to turn a military weapon like an AK-47 from semi-auto to full-auto. Now, Chief Mexican Calderon's propaganda aside, Mexican drug gangs are getting real military weapons from within Mexico. Countries south of the border and other places around the world are providing them. They're getting them through black market trade and through government corruption, as well as recruiting military members in the Mexican military to come work for them and bring their gear with them. Reports indicate that grenades and rocket launchers in use in Mexico aren't even available for sale in the United States and come from places like South Korea, Israel, and Spain. Now, between 2007 and 2009, a three-year period, almost 2,250 grenades were seized by the Mexican government. And those weren't from the U.S. The markings on them show that the machine guns in Mexico largely originate from China, Israel, and South Africa. Now, of course, Chief Mexican Calderon says, if you look carefully, you will notice that the violence in Mexico started to grow a couple of years before I took office in 2006. This coincides at least with the lifting of the U.S. assault weapons ban in 2004. So he's drawing the conclusion that in 2004, the assault weapons ban in the U.S. came up. It expired. And all of a sudden, Mexican violence went, He also patronized Americans by warning that our own gun ownership endangers the United States. Of course, we can see that, how that goes in Chicago. The problem with these talking points is that murder rates dropped in America and Mexico between the 2004 expiration of the ban and 2008, when the latest data is actually available. Now, likewise, Chief Mexican Calderon claimed that 80% of guns used in Mexican crimes come from the United States is completely false. Most weapons seized in Mexico have traceable serial numbers that show they come from countries other than the U.S. The 80% number reflects how many guns sent to the U.S. BATFE for tracing end up being American. Most weapons seized in Mexico aren't transferred to the U.S. authorities, so that figure is completely misleading and meaningless for calculating overall totals. Of course, it's offensive for Chief Mexican Calderon to come here as our guest and make up facts to blame Americans for Mexico's many problems. But it's more frightening to witness Democratic House and Senate members jump up and give a standing ovation when the foreigner steps up there and calls for renewing the assault weapons ban. That's certainly a warning that American gun owners need to heed, especially coming up in the November 2010 elections, just 6 months away. Actually, we're about 5.5 months away now. Now, I'm looking at a photograph of a number of guns that were seized in Mexico used for this propaganda. I am looking at 3 M16s. Pardon me. 2 M16s and 1 AR-15. One of the M16s is a short-barreled rifle. It's got about an 11-inch barrel. Another has a 20-inch barrel. Make that, let's look at it, about an 18-inch barrel. And then we have a 20-inch sporterized version. There's also a cut-down Mini-14. There's three handguns, one of them being a fully automatic machine pistol that you cannot buy in this country, six grenades, a rocket launcher with six rockets, can't buy those in American gun stores, and three different versions of AK-47s, which aren't even, I'm sorry, two different ones, which you can't even get these styles in the United States, an SKS, and a Sten, which is a fully automatic submachine gun. The vast majority of this stuff you can't even get. I'm looking at this. There is, you can get an SKS here. I cannot tell the brand on this one. You can get the Sporterized AR-15. You can get a Beretta handgun, and the other one looks to be a Smith M&P. And then, of course, you can get a Mini 14. With that exception, everything else in here you can't even get in the United States. That's all military-grade stuff. And by looking at the M16 A2 that's in this picture, that is a stock military gun. Meaning, okay, yeah, it probably did come from the United States. And something tells me you took it off somebody who defected from the Mexican Army. And where does the Mexican Army get its guns? Well, they get them through the Mexican government, who buys them through the U.S. State Department directly from the gun manufacturers. So they put in a bid. State Department says, okay, the gun manufacturers make the guns. The State Department essentially brokers the deal of sorts. It goes to Mexico. They deliver it to the Army. Somebody in the Army defects. It ends up in the hands of drug cartels and being used in crimes. But yet they want to base this entirely erroneous claim that an American walked into a gun store, bought the gun, and then sold it to a drug cartel. That's what they want to claim. Total lies. Now, why would the Mexican president do this? Why in the world? What is his agenda? And the vast majority of his guns are coming in from overseas. Why is this an agenda to go after the few guns, actually, that come out of the United States? And the vast majority of those were manufactured in the United States, but through illegal transactions dealing with corruption inside the Mexican government, they want to blame you and I, the civilians. Guys, they could ban every gun that American civilians have. It's not going to change one single thing in the nation of Mexico. They don't get their guns from gun owners. They don't get their guns from gun stores. A few of them here and there, absolutely. There's going to be a little bit of crime. But the vast majority of that stuff comes from other nations, or even if the guns were made in the U.S., they weren't sent and sold to Mexico. Other corruption involved ends up sending them back into Mexico and drug cartels buy them. So, again, I pose the question, why is the president of Mexico, the chief Mexican, Felipe Calderon, spreading all these lies? Well, because he doesn't have much of a choice. When the regime in control of the White House and the a-hole who occupies it say to him, look, here's the deal. We have an agenda, and you have a problem. We're going to do our very best to try to string these two together. We understand they're essential non sequiturs. The violence in Mexico with the drugs has nothing to do with American gun owners or the Second Amendment rights of people or even the assault weapons. We know that. But we're going to take a page from Joseph Goebbels. If you tell a lie, no matter how big and ugly it might be, how outlandish it may seem, if you tell it enough times, people are going to start to believe it. It's called propaganda. So here's what we're going to do. Any gun that you have that has a serial number on it, let us know. We'll help you go through it. Then, when we believe that those things are probably manufactured in the States, we want you to give those to the ATF for tracing. We can then say, falsely claim, that this huge percentage, vast majority of these guns that you, the corrupt Mexicans, are taking off of the Mexican druggies, that those Mexican druggie guns all come from the U.S., a huge, massive portion of them. Then we can start to restrict guns and get new bans on different types of guns at the federal level. So play ball, or you know, that $40 billion we sent to you a few years back and we continue to subsidize your criminal enterprise known as the Nation of Mexico. All that comes to an end. All of it. We'll just cut off the funding. Unless you play ball. You got to come here and be our stool pigeon. We know you're going to look like an idiot. But, you know, hey, it's okay for us to try to make some Mexican look like an idiot. We do it all the time. We don't really care. Sure, we in the White House are racist. Of course we are. We don't care who looks like a fool as long as we get what we want. You could lose a hand, an arm, your life, your family. We don't care. As long as we get what we want. And what we're trying to do, we had campaign promises that, you know, we don't want to take your guns, but we need to have emotional support that call us to taking the guns. And you're going to help us out, and this is how you're going to do it. So get the rest of the people on your payroll, your under-the-table payroll, in line with this. Or we're going to cut off funding. What would you do? If that's the way the regime and the a-hole that occupies the White House, would, if that's the way they came to you in your small, corrupt little country, what would you do? Well, you'd play ball, too. So that's exactly what the chief Mexican Calderon is doing. They don't care in D.C. if it's the truth. They have an agenda. And if their agenda includes embarrassing another head of state, making him look like an ass, making his entire country look like asses, making anyone from any country or any racial denomination or any sort of religion or, well, unless they're, of course, they're Muslim, that's going to get protected. Whether they're men or women, they don't care as long as they get what they want. Collateral damage, be damned. We don't care. That's just the way it goes. So that, my friends, is exactly why Calderon is doing what he's doing and spreading all the lies. Now, we're going to switch back to a little Chicago-related thing. And that is, what is the stupidest thing Chicago Mayor Richard Daley has ever said? Now, this was an online poll. Some readers complained that all of the above wasn't an option in the online poll. Now, there is a winner in the Chicago Tribune's online poll to answer one of the most perplexing questions in American politics. What is the stupidest thing that Mayor Richard Daley has ever said? That's the current Mayor Daley, the younger, Richard Daley Jr. of sorts. It's the Chicago Tribune. I'm sorry. It was in the Chicago Tribune. The poll was commissioned after Daley set up a publicity stunt to demonstrate he was tough on crime, just as Chicago police were investigating last week's slaying of Officer Thomas Wortham IV. We told you about that one, where he was protecting his new motorcycle. Three scumbags come to stake it. They shoot him. His retired father shoots two of the three of them, killing one. With a table of guns before him and Daley in a light mood, he quote-unquote joked about sticking a rusty bayoneted rifle up a reporter's behind and squeezing off a round just to prove how effective his handgun ban has been in stopping all the violence in Chicago. Yeah, right. There's no surprise that after about 4,600 people voted online, the winner with 21% was this mayoral beauty. And that is just from last week. If I put this up your butt, you'll find out how effective it is. Let me put a round up your you-know-what. Or up your you-know, rather. The sentimental favorite was this. What else do you want me to do? Take my pants off? Well, that received 3% of the vote. Daley's famous rant that reporters are mercilessly scrutinized. I'm sorry. That had mercilessly scrutinized his shorts, won second place with 12%. So, there's a very stupid man in the mayor's office in Chicago. We all know that. There's no hiding or mistaking that. There's no way of getting around it. He's just stupid. And he said many, many stupid things over the years. So, What else is he going to do other than listen, look at all of the stupid statements, all the stupid ramblings, and vote on them? There are some great ones. How about this one on the health crackdown? If a rat is on your sandwich, you hope to know it before. If a mouse is on your salad, it's common sense. What? How about this one on the casual look? If somebody takes their tie off, I'm not going to take my tie off. If somebody takes their pants off, I'm not going to take my pants off. What? How about on Hardigan losing the gubernatorial nominee? He says, I supported him. I raised money for him. What else do you want me to do? Take my pants off? Very sentimental favorite. On his brother dropping a bid for governor, he says, scrutiny? What else do you want? Do you want me to take my shorts? I'm sorry, do you want to take my shorts? Give me a break. Go scrutinize yourself. I get scrutinized every day. Don't worry. From each and every one of you, it doesn't bother me. What a goofball. Stay tuned, guys. More to come after the break.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong, and this is not where you belong.
Welcome back from the break. Now, it's no secret that the state of Illinois is the only state in the entire country that does not allow its citizens to carry guns in any capacity whatsoever, even through any kind of special permission. You can't do it. Now, in Wisconsin, there is no provision for carrying concealed, but open carry is legal. So a group called Illinois Carry, from IllinoisCarry.com, held a town hall meeting in Rockford, Illinois, last night, to raise awareness about right to carry legislation in Illinois. IllinoisCarry.com wants the right to carry, and they want a right to carry law. Illinois is the only state in the country without one. No provision at all for keeping a gun with you. The group says that Illinois is infringing on citizens' Second Amendment rights. Well, duh, they certainly are. Opponents of right to carry laws, of course, argue that crime rates could go up. But, of course, Illinois carries on the ball, and they point to every single statistic from the other 49 states that do have gun owner provisions, and that their statistics show otherwise, that crime goes down. This from Illinois Carry spokesperson Valinda Rowe said the following. That has not happened in a single one of those states. So it's tried and true. It's proven that it works when you allow law-abiding, responsible adults to carry a firearm for personal protection. Now, of course, Illinois Carry asked everyone at last night's town hall meeting to contact their state legislators to tell them to support right to carry legislation. But what have they gotten out of it? So far, nothing. Now, with the McDonald v. Chicago decision looming to come out in June, I am doing my damnedest to put together a big celebration shoot in Illinois sometime in late August to celebrate the McDonald win, provided we get what we're looking for. So provided we do, you'll hear all about it. I've been busy every day working on this, every day. Calls, emails, faxes, calls, emails, faxes, calls, emails, faxes, just constantly trying to get this thing together. Again, it all hinges on the entire decision by the Supreme Court, which is looking very favorably to essentially do a cut and paste of the Heller decision and take the anti-gun zealots in Illinois and give it back to them where it counts. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Stay tuned for the Control Factor coming up next.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will Your Freedoms? The Two-Way Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.